Hello, Internet, and welcome to another episode of All My Issues. In this episode, episode 55, we got the chance to sit down with cosplayer Jabbar Lasley. He is a cosplayer that has his own cosplaying group called Cosplay Your Way, and he's also just an all-around awesome guy. We got to sit down with him and talk for quite a while, talked about our interests, his interests, our mutual interests, and we got to talk a little bit about Buffy, a bunch of different things. So, without further ado, let's get started.
All right, well, I guess we'll just kind of go right into the conversation, right? So we have Jabbar here, Jabbar Lasley.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. We start out kind of asking the question, you know, like what kind of inspired you to become a cosplayer?
Oh, sure. Interestingly enough, I have always been into Halloween, dressing up. I have some very creative thinking parents. So when I wanted to try different things, try different looks, take on different personalities, they were very supportive of it. As an adult, I found that it was becoming more limited to do that. So of course, when Halloween came around, I definitely took time to overindulge in the holiday. And then luckily one of my friends, Lisa, she came to me one day and she said, you know, I don't know why you're not downtown. All these people are dressed up. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she was like, everybody's dressed up in costumes. I know that you like that. You need to come down. And so, you know, I love her so much. So I said, she doesn't steer me wrong. So I immediately went down to see what she was talking about. And I was thrown in the midst of Dragon Con, which is one of the biggest cons here.
Oh, yeah.
And I was in heaven. I was like, whoa, where have I been? Why did I know about this? And that year I was modeling for another convention that was out. And I think that's probably what kept me from knowing that Dragon Con was happening, because I was modeling and doing different things and working in the industry and I didn't know about it. But as soon as I was made privy to Dragon Con, it's become a staple. So I think I started in 2006, and I've been there every year since.
Nice. Yeah, I'm probably guilty of liking Halloween a little bit too much myself.
I definitely am.
I think I'm the only one.
I like it more than Christmas.
It's a fun holiday. Where's the best place you guys have been and celebrated Halloween? I mean, I love South Beach.
Oh, I've never been able to go anyplace exciting.
Yeah, Kent State University.
Kent State University is probably the best for us, where everybody goes all downtown. Right.
Well, that sounds good.
It gets a little crazy at times.
Yeah.
There's been a car on fire or something.
Yeah. Every once in a while, you know. Yeah. I met an angel once, so.
You met an angel?
So Jabbar, you're originally from Dayton, correct?
I am originally from Dayton. So when you just said Ohio, I was like, whoa. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. We're based out of the Warren, Youngstown area, so we're on the other side.
Youngstown. Yeah, I've spent some time up there. Had a little fun. I'm from Dayton, and I went to the Ohio State University.
You have to say the.
Yes.
We were beaten. Doesn't matter where you're from, Ohio. Yeah. Everybody loves the Ohio State.
It was mandatory. Right. I didn't think I was going to get my grades or pass a class, because one day I didn't say the in front of Ohio State, and it was like I just called a teacher out of his name or something.
I love that there's 30 colleges closer to where we live, at least, than Ohio State, and everybody's still a Buckeyes fan.
Yeah. That is true.
So what did you study at the Ohio State University?
Oh, okay. So at The Ohio State University, I studied journalism, advertising, and minored in psychology.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was definitely held on to my nerd X things, but I've always been a creative. So yeah, I was able to combine the two. So I do a lot of writing, coming up with slogans, campaigns, and things like that. And then I definitely wanted to get into the psychology aspect of it, because I just like understanding people, how they think, why they think certain things, why they react and interact.
Does that psychology background help out with the cosplay, like get you in the mindset of the character?
Yeah. Yes, it helps me get into the mindset of the character. It helps me play the part. It helps me deal with other people in the cosplay community. It helps me in so many aspects of all my career, because I work in television and film. So dealing with actors and actresses and different things like that, minoring in psychology has definitely been a benefit for me to adjust quickly to people's temperament and be able to read people a little bit quicker than most and assess the situation better so I can get the best scenario out of the experience.
Okay.
Hey, I have a quick question for you. I'm interrupting here to ask this, but so we all three here are pretty nerdy, I guess, in some way or shape or form in our interests. So what were your biggest things that you were fans of that helped influence your cosplay decisions?
You know, my biggest love growing up, I was just enthralled with Teen Titans for some reason, or the Titans, and they just could do no wrong, and there's everything I wanted. I'm actually really excited for the television show to finally come about. I mean, I didn't like some of the preview photos that they leaked, but I'll suck that up and hope for the best, but their storyline was just amazing to me. And as a young kid reading it, I just related to it so much. So interestingly enough, my first cosplays that I did and that I think I did well were Jericho and Raven.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and you know, and it was so funny because 10 years ago, 8 years ago, it wasn't really common for gender ban to happen. Gender ban, I guess, became really popular recently. And I was talking to a designer and I was like, well, I want to do Raven. And, you know, I don't know how we're going to make it happen. It's a female character, but I want to do it. So what can we do? So we kind of designed a costume. It's not traditional Raven, but it was on the verge of Raven. It gave me more of a warrior look to it. But definitely a lot of the things that you could recognize Raven with. But it still had the slit down the center and the thighs out and stuff. So I don't know how masculine and warrior-esque it was, but it worked.
Had the essence of Raven.
It had the essence. And then my Jericho is amazing. I mean, that was so fun. I did Jericho, and my first rendition of it, I decided to do a giant white afro because I wanted to shake it up. And I made it to like all these magazines and articles because people were like, oh, this guy's in Jericho. We don't see it often. He did a take on it. He put his afro on because he's African-American, but it was a blonde, big blonde afro. It was just so funny. And then what made it really a wonderful experience for me is I ran into George Perez that year. And he was like, I have to take a picture with you. I haven't seen anybody do Jericho. I love the afro. And I was like, are you serious? And he was like, yeah. So he was like, come on. So I have pictures with George Perez. He made me feel absolutely wonderful about doing his character and doing my take on it.
Nice.
That's amazing.
That is.
Yeah,
awesome.
He's a pretty nice guy. I've met him.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's amazing. I mean, sometimes you don't want to meet some of your childhood heroes or people that you admire because you're for fear that they won't live up to what you've built up in your head. But I would have to say from my personal experience that George Perez does not disappoint.
That's good to hear. That's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't had a chance to meet him yet.
Yeah.
Oh, you will. You will. Okay. And being that I take the opportunity, I have a campaign that I do. I have a movement called Cosplay Your Way. And it's about putting an end to naysayers that's trying to stop people from cosplaying because of race, age, size, gender, experience. And it's not that I set out to do that. It's just been that I've always been allowed to pull in my own creative juices and switch it up and, you know, learn the rules and bend them a little. It's just somebody, it's just who I am. And it's really, I guess the word I'm looking for is really nice and I guess embracing to run into people like a George Perez who created a character who looks at my liberties that I took and is not offended by them. He's actually complimentary and he actually is like, oh my God, I love this look. I love this vibe. I need this photo. So I was like, that really empowered me. Because when I first started cosplay, I had some wonderful experiences like that. My first Gambit made it onto Marvel's website.
Oh, wow.
That's cool.
My first Bishop made it into the book Cosplay in America. So I was like, whoa, this is just where I'm supposed to be. This is just the most amazing world. Probably wasn't until about 4 or 5 years in that I did have a run-in or bump my head on some people who had limited scopes or thought that people should only cosplay certain things or thought within a box to try to prevent people from just enjoying the art of cosplay as a total, as a complete art form. And they just wanted certain people to do certain things. And, you know, by that time I was already spoiled. So I definitely wasn't going to get in that box that they were trying to put me in. So that helped birth Cosplay Your Way.
Now, have you seen that that negative stuff coming from creators or just other cosplayers or just casual convention goers or all three?
Luckily, it hasn't been from creators that I've been in association with. It's been mostly from other congoers and then people who are just casually internet warriors or, you know, just they look at your pictures and they have all these ideas of what you should and should not do. But I found it really disheartening to hear it on the con floors or to see people who are going to the cons, because in my mind, everybody was there because we are all like-minded. It was right. Utopia. Yeah. You know, and I was like, wow, just everybody here loves everybody and fandom is great. And all I want to do is see people do their interpretation of their character or the character that they love and find people that love the character that I love. And, you know, periodically I would do a character that I didn't think was well known and to find the people that's like, oh my God, wow, your vibe or your shaman. Or you're so, it just made me even feel more special because I'm like, we definitely have a connection. I have made a couple of really good friends because I did Alpha Flight. And there's not a lot of people here, or there were not a lot of people that cosplay Alpha Flight characters. And just that alone helped build some beautiful bonds. So to go from that to finding people who actually were ostracizing others or putting people down or suggesting that you can't cosplay because of your race, size, color, age was really startling for me. But I'm the type of person that I'm about resolution. So instead of letting it push me down or the people around me, I pushed back and I came up with Cosplay Your Way. And I'm definitely about putting an end to that.
Yeah, it sounds good. The internet is one of those places that I have this horrible love-hate relationship with. And I love all the information it brings me, and I hate 75% of the people who were active posters.
Yeah, it made a lot of people. It's worse than liquid courage. It gives a lot of people a lot opinions that they wouldn't normally say probably in person. And, you know, it's been a few people who don't even cosplay that has a lot of rules and regulations on how somebody should cosplay.
Yeah. It's amazing how opinionated they are about, you know, other people's lives when their own's probably out of order.
Oh, yeah. Most of the time it is. I mean, I've met some of them and I'm like, whoa, this is what you're dealing with and this is who you are and you have time to try to berate somebody else. This is not cool. You should really concentrate on a few things in your life and you might be happier.
Yeah. I think unhappy people like making other people unhappy.
I think so too. And cosplay is a happy place. It's a happy place. It's filled with all kind of excitement and it has everything. Like I said, I was exposed to it with Dragon Con first. So that's like an all-in-one. Celebrities, movies, fandom, parties, 24 hours from Thursday to Monday. You have the artists. You have people like George Perez and Dean Cain. I mean, just constant people walking around, mixing it up with you that we watched growing up. And it's like, how do you not enjoy this? How do you not have fun? How are you not in this euphoric space when you're around this type of energy?
Exactly.
You had me at parties, so.
Yeah. Well, if you like the parties, I'm telling you, Thursday, well, sorry, I'll get smacked. The parties now start Tuesday night. So from about Tuesday night until Monday night is really 24 hours of just partying and enjoying yourself. Yeah, I mean, nice. It might be an hour or two shut down from maybe like, I don't know, 7 a.m. to, it's not even shut down, it's just people get tired. Maybe 7 a.m. to about 8:30.
Got it.
But other than that, that's a weekend where you might, over 4 days, get about 3 hours of sleep if you're doing it right.
There you go.
That's awesome. I like what you said too about mixing the characters up and stuff like that too. Because I always appreciate seeing what people kind of add to a character and kind of, you know, when they might put their own little twist to the character, and you're like, oh, okay, I like that. I like it. That's like the creative part of it, I think. It seems
exactly. And honestly, you know, we're not actors. Most of us, we're not getting cast for anything. The exciting aspect is being able to take the tools that you have, take the things in your house and or your skill set and create the character based off of your interpretation and what you can do. I think it's the most amazing thing. And because of that, you know, you get more ideas. I've talked with people, and I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I'm not a big fan of the canon and if something is canon, because we just live in a world that's ever evolving. And the new generation, Generation Z, and probably the one before that, Y, they don't get their source from comic books like the older generation did. So they're watching TV, animation, and movies. So when somebody that is from comic book world comes up to someone and says, oh, that's not canon, but that person has only watched the television version and or the movie version, which is canon for them because that's the only thing that they know, I just don't really subscribe to that, because canon is such an evolving thing. Even in the comics, when they go from, oh, now it's New 52 or it's a new version or we're going to start the universe over, they redesign the look, they redesign the character. Sometimes they switch the race and the gender. And I can't dictate when you started in the fandom for me to tell you what is canon for you. All I can say is, oh, you like Kid Flash? Oh, wow, I used to read Kid Flash when he had red hair and he was a little white kid. Now on Arrow, that's not the case.
Yeah.
So your canon is different from my canon. So I don't really use the word canon. I just say have fun. I recognize the costume you have on, yellow and red. It's a lightning bolt on it. You're some kind of Flash.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Now, you're based in Atlanta. Tell us about the cosplay community down there. How well is it growing and everything?
Because the cosplay community down here is really great. I mean, when I tell you we are in a costume at least twice a month. We have a bar, if you want to call it a bar or eatery or a hangout place called Battle and Brew, where it's game set up. You can sit on the couch like it's a living room and play video games like you're in your house. You can play around a table. It's geared toward people coming and celebrating their fandom and being in costume and eating and hanging out with like-minded people. We have a ton of conventions. I'm actually doing one coming up called Blacktasticon. I know that's a lot of names. And that's happening on the 6th. You said what?
Yeah, I was wondering about that, the Blacktasticon.
Yeah, so I'm doing that this weekend, and I do panels, so I do a lot of panels, because as I said, with Cosplay Your Way, it is important to me to make people feel comfortable and not allow people to deter those interested in breaking into cosplay, to come into cosplay. So I do a lot of panels. I work with some wonderful designers. I work with some wonderful cosplayers. At the Blacktasticon panel, I'm going to be doing two panels, one called Cosplay Made Simple, where I'm going to go over steps, tips, and tricks of how to break into cosplay without breaking the bank. A lot of people think that it's very expensive, and it can be, but there are some characters out here, and I know some ways to get a great cosplay look without spending a whole lot of money, and you still get the fun, and you get the pictures, and you know, let's face it, a lot of people, we dress up because we kind of want people to be like, oh my God, I love that. So I am going to teach people some tricks to do that. And then I'll have a Cosplay Your Way panel. And then I do another panel called Design and Functional Cosplay, where that's a higher level one for people who have been doing it. I bring some of my designers. I have Walter Dean, who was on Marvel Becoming. He's one of the top African-American designers. He did Adore Melaje for Marvel. And then Tanya Woods of Thrill Builds, who's phenomenal. Fiona Leonard, who's a master costumer. And Corey Cortoons, who is an amazing prop builder, and he works with foam. And I don't know if you guys had a chance to see my Killmonger from the comics, but he did my Killmonger. And these people are amazing, and they're humble, and they're so talented. And I just love creating a space where people can reach them, and they can reach people and give back.
Okay.
But back to your original question, it is so fun. We do charity. We have wonderful photographers that just love to shoot cosplay. So even if you have a break in a convention, which is rare, because we just did MomoCon, now Blacktasticon is coming. And then we're prepping for Dragon Con. And in between that is two other cons. But even if you have a break, you usually run into a photographer that's like, okay, well, I saw you last week. I love this costume on you. I have an idea. Let's go shoot. And I want to do some special effects and blah, 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 blah. So we find ourselves in costume very often, enjoying people and having a good time here and going to Battle and Brew and going to different scenarios and meeting up and hanging out. It's just a year round.
Okay. Speaking of like photo shoots, I think I saw a photo shoot that you were involved in with Blurred, BLERD, a photo shoot that you were and some other people were involved in.
Let me see, because I do a lot of photo shoots. So maybe you're talking about the one, I did a photo shoot where I teamed up with photographer Andrew Michael Phillips. And what I decided to do for that is I wanted to work with novice and expert cosplayers. And for the month of February, I put out a new picture every day of someone.
Oh, wow.
But instead of just putting out a picture, I have to be extra. I wanted to do something different with it. So I turned every picture into a magazine cover. And with every magazine cover, I actually interviewed each person to find out what was going on in their lives. And so the headings and the topics that are on their covers reflect what's going on in their lives or reflect something about their cosplay. So that was called Cosplay Noir. And I did that, and we put out 28 individual pictures each day of February. And it was amazing. It got a great response. The pictures were being shared even internationally. And Andrew Michael Phillips is such a wonderful photographer. Also worked with a few other photographers because I didn't want it to just be him. I worked with Dana Morgan. I worked with Adara Nakia Hammonds and Jeffrey Hall and Dr. Law's Photo Lab. So that experience, that project was about bringing the cosplay photographers together with the cosplayers and doing something that everybody could benefit from and create a sort of thunderclap for everyone to send out the photos and send out their work. It was such a great experience.
That's awesome. Yeah. How many different types of characters have you personally cosplayed as? It sounds like you've had quite a different variety of characters.
Yeah, I say that I've personally done right now, I'm probably up to 24.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because I've
done favorite?
My favorite. Oh, my God. I was hoping you didn't ask me that. I am on the fence. I'm on the fence because it's like, I don't know. So, all right. So I'm going to say, so I love doing Static Shock because Static Shock is fun. Static Shock made such an impact on so many people years ago. And it's just the most amazing thing to run into people who smile and have so much joy on their face when I'm doing Static because they're like, oh my God, Static was so great. So I love doing Static Shock. Interestingly enough, and you guys are going to be like, oh my God, you do this. I like doing Black Cat. I do a version of Black Cat that I enjoy, and it's sexy and it's so funny because when I show up as Black Cat, because you know, most of the people that do Black Cat are these beautiful, beautiful women that are just natural beauties. So when I show up as a Black Cat and I'm not ugly as a Black Cat, it's just funny to see the reactions that I get because it's like, wow, okay, he is a guy, but he is sexy. I guess it's okay. And I like that. And then I love doing Bishop. I love doing Gambit. It was so funny. Somebody asked me, was I really into Marvel or DC? And, you know, I was like, I don't know. I think I love DC. But then I looked at my character list and it's like, I do Warpath. I do Shaman. I do Bishop. I do Gambit. I was like, looks like I like Marvel better if you just look at my body of work.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But yeah, I say those are my favorites. And Raven is still at the top for me. It was one of those costumes that I don't really have to put on often because it was so great and so good when I did it that it's almost like my retired costume. And now my Killmonger is just amazing and, you know, Vibe. I don't know. I guess I didn't answer your question. I've said so many things. We'll just go to Killmonger and Static Shock right now.
Now, what is the most complex character you've ever either you did yourself or you helped a friend, someone create or make a costume? If anything like complex, like moving parts or anything, or?
Oh, complex. So complex as in the actual build of the costume?
Yeah, correct. Yes.
Oh, okay. So the most complex is probably my Killmonger.
Okay.
because that's the armor, the mask. I have a hair attached to it. Navigating through the crowd is not easy. It looks like it's not a lot, but there are so many parts to it. I have the spikes on my arm. I have the mask. I have the body armor. Then I have the skull belt around my waist. And then I have I guess I don't call them knee pads, but they're skulls. So skulls around my knees. Then I have to pull the boot covers up. Then those take shingles. Yeah, it's just a lot of different parts to it that once it's together, it looks smooth and it looks like it has continuity. But if anything is off at any point, the rest of the costume is off. And that's probably my most complex one that I've done to date.
I just want to add that while we're talking, I'm kind of creeping onto your Facebook and Twitter, and you are correct. Your Black Cat and Killmonger are sweet.
Thank you. I wasn't just making it up.
How long did it take you to put the Killmonger together? How long did it take?
You know, it was like a minute because I wanted it perfect and I style, but I said, you know, I need to really reach out to my A team. So I'm not a person that sit down and sews and do a lot of stuff. I am a person that knows how to get the best people together for the best look. So I actually have a wig lady who definitely makes sure our hair, my crew's hair is impeccable. I have somebody a couple of people that works on costume, like I said, Walter Dean of Dean's List. So with that costume, I had three of my designers come together. I know they were all looking at me like, what's wrong with you? We can do it by ourselves. But I had three of the designers come together to work on that costume because there were different parts of it that I wanted to be impeccable. And although they are all extremely talented, I was like, look, I need Corey to do the armor. I need Tori Mackay, Marilyn. I said, I need you to do the pants and cut it out. And I need you to do the boot covers. Walter, I need you to take care of the accessories, pull it all together, make sure everything fits me well. And they did. They didn't give me any pushback. So with the luck of having them and the luxury of having them, I was able to pull it together and bring it to life for the Wakanda shoot that we had last year, which was prior to Black Panther coming out. So that was really cool to do the shoot before Black Panther came out and then for the pictures to be in circulation while the movie was out.
Now, if people were interested in and seeing some of your pictures and stuff, where can they find some of your different pictures on cosplay and everything?
Oh, cool. So if anyone's interested in checking me out, which I hope you are, you can find me at Bar Fox. That's BarrFoxx. And that's on all social media. So it's Bar Fox on Twitter, Bar Fox on Instagram, Bar Fox Cosplay on Facebook. And on there, you'll be able to see the panels. You'll be able to see my photos. You'll be able to see the videos that we do. You'll be able to see concepts and work in progress and actually join in and have fun and give your opinion and share your cosplay as well. And also on Instagram, I have a Cosplay Your Way page that I encourage people to visit and share their cosplay and tell their story, especially if you have experienced anyone or anything telling you not to cosplay or trying to prevent you from doing it your way. So I like for people to come on that page and express themselves and be them. That is absolutely a safe zone. There is no tolerance for anyone disrespecting anyone else about their cosplay or what they're doing because everything's a work in progress. And I encourage people to go there and share their work and share their art.
Very cool. Very cool.
Okay. You guys are easy to talk to. Usually when I do these interviews, I get these hard, super hard questions.
Who wants to come up with some hard? I don't even know.
What's the atomic weight?
Yeah. People are like, you guys are laid back. Some people just try to drill you. I think some people try to catch you off guard, or they want to get that one topic or one response that you were not expecting. So, you know, I'm like, oh dang, I'm pretty trained for a lot of it. I'm not saying I'm 100% trained, but I will say thank you, because this is a very easy going conversation. It's relaxing.
Yeah, that's what we try to
that's
do.
That's what we shoot for.
Yeah.
We're not really TMZ.
Well, thanks
like
a lot.
It, like having conversations with people, talking with them about what they do, and it's fun.
And their interests and stuff. That's probably going to be my next question is, what current things are you into in terms of like pop culture things, movies, television, comics, anything that you're into?
Yeah, because there's something coming up that you're really excited about.
Well, as I stated before, we'll see what happens, but I'm really excited about Teen Titans coming out. I just want to see it come to life.
Are you a Teen Titans Go fan too?
Not a Teen Titans Go fan. Isn't that interesting? No. I don't dislike it, but is it that thing I have to turn on? No.
My son loves it, so we watch it.
Yeah, it's one of those scenarios where if it's on, I'll watch it. I think because the comic book has so much teenage angst and young adult angst in it, for it to be turned into such a kiddie cartoon, which I understand why, it didn't grab me as much as I wanted, because, you know, I'm looking for scenarios where Dick Grayson and Corianne Starfire are in love, and, you know, I know she kind of had a sexual essence to her, and she was just a little promiscuous, and just all the stuff that was going on, and Tara was crazy, and like I wanted all of that, because that's what really drew me to the book, and they can't do that in Teen Titans Go. Of course, that needs to be really sweet, and so I was like, I kind of missed that edge to it. And, you know, Raven is completely crazy with her father being Trigon. So although they kind of just hint at little things in Teen Titans Go, it's just not enough for me to be glued to the TV. As for what else am I into? Oh, my God, I'm such a TV nerd. Of course, I do Flash. Of course, I do Arrow, Supergirl. I don't know if it's too many things that come on that I don't watch. You know, stuff that people are like, oh, I threw in a towel on that show. And I'm like, whatever, I'm still watching it. DC Legends of Tomorrow. I even went to, not that I loved it, and I don't know if you guys loved it. I think it's called Runaways. Yeah, so I watched Runaways.
I watched the first few episodes, and I really liked it. I watched maybe the first five or six. I just haven't finished it yet. I thought it was wonderful.
Yeah, I like what I saw too. I started watching Cloak and Dagger too.
Cloak and Dagger is on my list. I was trying to let three shows or four shows build up before I binge watch to get into it, because I'm looking forward to that. It's interesting. It wasn't one of my favorites when I was growing up, nor did I really migrate toward the comic. But the interesting aspect of Cloak and Dagger for me is when I see people cosplay Cloak and Dagger, I'm very excited. I think it's a wonderful cosplay. I think it's a wonderful duo cosplay to do. And the movie or the TV show, I'm excited to see as well, because I find that shows that I didn't necessarily read or wasn't attached to growing up, I am still open to the experience, and it introduces new things to me because I don't already have these ideas. I try not to go into movies and television shows and say, why are they doing that? You know, so-and-so is supposed to be this way. Because, you know, when it's a TV or screen adaption, a lot of stuff changes. So I try to be open to what the interpretation is for the television or for the movie. But luckily, when it's stuff like Cloak and Dagger that I didn't read, whatever they decide to do on television, if it's done well, is entertaining for me.
Now, going on with like television shows like Cloak and Dagger, would if that television show it's pretty good, would you ever like go pick up a comic book to read a Cloak and Dagger comic book to kind of see where they draw their inspiration from?
I don't know if I would do it for Cloak and Dagger. Some movies or TV shows motivate me to go back, but because I know I'm late to the game for that one and it's been out for so long and this television adaption potentially has taken liberties and changed some things, I don't know if I would want to go back and learn what they didn't do from the comics and then start holding that against them. If that makes sense, I would probably want to just let this be my exposure to it and enjoy the cosplay.
Yeah, I don't know. A lot of people get upset about the way changes are made, and I very rarely do. I always figure that I have the original, so
yeah, exactly.
Them changing it for the television show, now I've got something else that's kind of original using the same thing, so they can be separate. And
yeah. That's a great way to look at stuff. You are really one of a kind. Most people are like, nope, I was 13 when this happened, and it needs to be that way, and it needs to stay that way. And when I talk to those people, I ask them about, you know, what else in their life hasn't evolved since they were 13? Like, has everything stayed the same when you were 15? You're like in a world where things have changed drastically. So why would you need this one thing to stay like that? It has to change. And
quite frankly, I kind of like when things change a little bit, because then it's not the exact same story. Because it was the exact same story.
I already have that. Yeah.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I think sometimes when the change happens, though, I like organic changes. I don't like changes that were just made just to change, just to be shocking. If it's like organic, then, you know, I think it's more accepting.
Yeah, I think as long as they're true to the character.
Yeah, true to the character.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And definitely some pros and cons to both sides of it. You have some scenarios where they are, when I say they, I'm talking about the movie houses or the producers, which is me sometimes, or I don't do that, but my brethren, where they're like, oh my God, okay, this person is really famous. They're going to bring some money. So, you know, let's just pick this artist or this actress to be in it, or this actor to be in it. And that person's completely to the left. They don't embody the character. They don't embody the essence of the character. And you find scenarios where they're just trying to push a name or push something just to jump on the train. And scenarios like that, I definitely am not a fan of, but I'm not afraid of change. Don't mind subtle changes. I'm not really excited about all of the making every character super young in X-Men and different things like that. I totally understand it because I sit at these tables and have these discussions, and it's all about grabbing a younger audience and hopefully keeping them for 10 more years to watch the movie, because for some reason they assume that the people that were watching it 10 years ago don't watch it anymore, which is not true from my generic polling. You know, we're like still watching, like, yeah. So all this world is geared toward getting the new people all the time. I get it, but it's not necessarily the best way to go all the time, because they have a short attention span for a lot of stuff. And you would probably do better to keep the ones that are already hooked. But I definitely understand trying to get new people on board. I mean, it all depends. You know, some changes are crazy. I was not on board. I don't know if people will kill me. I wasn't necessarily on board with the Jimmy Olsen change for Supergirl. And not because of anything racial. It was just Makai Brooks is just so, that's just a lot of man. That's just a lot of masculinity. And
it's not who I think of when I think Jimmy Olsen. Yeah.
Out of danger.
Yeah.
It's like, who is going to mess with Makai Brooks? Like, Jimmy was always in trouble.
He's the one that'd be safe in Bill's lane.
It's like Makai is like, that's a Superman himself. He should have just came in with another character. So it was just like there was so much muscle and so much man and so much height and so much masculinity. I was like, eh, I don't know.
So, your best friend Superman, really?
Yeah,
that was one thing. Like, the Runaways, as Superman. Well. Asked it really well. The
yeah,
Runaways.
They did.
They really stayed true to the characters.
Yeah.
Oh, with the Runaways.
Not everyone was just like a teen heartthrob.
Yeah.
Like, automatically.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, you have a lot of that. I did kind of like The Gifted. I mean, I didn't dislike it. Probably because it has some lesser known characters in it that I'm fans of. Like I do Warpath as a cosplay, so I was really excited to see his brother Thunderbird in it. Mm-hmm. So things like that, but I think they went the heartthrob route more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I didn't actually get to watch it.
Yeah, that's one show I didn't get to see either.
Oh, you didn't get to see it? I mean, check it out. No. Let me know what you think. It wasn't bad. I hope it does come back for another season. The funny thing is, guys, I watched Inhumans. And
oh, man, of course, yeah.
People were dogging it and putting it down. And I do have to admit, the first four episodes for me, or five, it might have been five, was a hard watch for me. I wanted
you
it to be good.
And
I was, yeah,
I,
and it's
I
like,
made it all the way through, though.
You said you did what?
I made it all the way through it, though, too. I would agree with you. The first half is a little rough.
It's rough, yeah, but it's then rough. I got to a point where I was like, okay, I'm finding my pace with it. And then I'm like, oh, I want to see what they do when they get to Earth now. And it's canceled. And I think I'm hoping, or I'm thinking, that the writers potentially had something interesting in store, especially since... and I hope I'm not giving a spoiler, since people supposedly didn't like it, but since Medusa's hair was cut off and stuff, I was like, oh, I just want to know what's going to happen. Is she going to get her hair back? All this stuff. And how is it going to react? Does her powers change? I just wanted to see what was going to occur. Disappointed that it didn't get a chance to come back. But we just live in a world where you don't get five episodes to not be spectacular. We just don't.
Yeah, that's true. It seemed like they kind of dragged that story out a little bit. Like, it could have been condensed more, like the first half of it, maybe, you know, and then they probably could have added a lot more to it. But
they took their time to try to let it breathe, but that tactic didn't work, because you have a superhero show. You need to hit us with the action. You need to get us hooked at the top. Most of the shows like that I noticed, they give you so much for the first four, five or six episodes, and then you have a slow episode in the middle, and then they go back to the excitement. I think Black Lightning, which I really enjoyed, it's one of my favorite shows. It definitely followed that method, where it just kept giving you, then it slowed down just a little, and then it picked back up. Black Lightning is one of the few shows that I actually come home to watch when it airs, as opposed to just catching it on a DVR.
Nice.
So hopefully that energy stays up, and I would love to meet them. I hope I do, since they're filming here in Atlanta. I'm shocked that I haven't ran into them. And I get so mad, because every time I leave a mall or I leave a restaurant, a friend of mine is like, oh, guess who is here? The cast of Black Lightning. Oh, guess who just came in? Chris Williams. And I'm like, well, I was literally just there. And they're like,
I don't think
dang.
Your friends are going to rub it in like that.
You said what?
I said, I don't think they're your friends if they're going to rub it in like that.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think they just like to tell me, you know, or maybe they have an inside track and make sure I leave before the people get there. I don't know.
Or maybe the cast of Black Lightning is stalking you, but they're really bad at it, so they arrive just after you leave.
That could be it. Whatever it is, I'm letting them know now. If they can hear me, you can catch me. I'm fine. That's just the other time. I'm fans of Cress, and I'm fans of the young woman that plays the mother on there. I used to love her on a show called Pushing Up Daisies.
Yeah.
And it's just really good to see people who have impressed me over the years in different roles, and the roles are so distinctively different that most of the time you're like, I think that's the woman from Push. I think, and I just like when people's acting prowess is that diverse.
Nice, yeah.
Which I'm a fan of. Like, go ahead. I was gonna say I'm a big fan of Zachary Levi, so I'm curious to see what he's gonna do with Shazam.
Yeah,
he's a good actor. Like, I loved him in Thor, loved him in Chuck. Actually liked him in Heroes, the second installment.
Yeah, I watched the first episode of the second installment, and then I missed the rest of it, but I liked him in that.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, he's just like one of my favorite actors. He knows how to bring, I don't know, whatever I'm missing. It's like he can be funny enough, or he can be serious enough, and he doesn't overdo it. And I totally didn't even recognize him in Thor.
I didn't either. And it's funny that you brought that up, because I didn't realize that he was one of the Warriors Three until like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He was in the second and the third one. Yeah.
Yes.
I liked him. He had a game show on for a while on the Sci-Fi Network, where he would have two people from the audience and a celebrity on each team, and they would answer nerd trivia while drinking.
Oh, wow.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
That's our kind of game.
I know. I actually DVR'd that one. I was like, oh, this is good. I don't know how many episodes there was, but it was good.
So, you know, it goes to show you that I think he just truly loves this world. Because if you look at it, he is periodically just thrusted in there. He don't even make them push his name. It's like he's in all of these things. He looks different. He just wants to be in it. And I didn't even know about the game show, but I just think he loves it. So it's nice to see actors that love it and want to do it. And just for that, I'm truly hoping that his movie is a success, because I would love for him to get something like Shazam and make it one of his signature looks and signature movies, because he actually loves comics and sci-fi and adventure.
Yeah, with DC movies, you never know what you're going to get. Like, and I tend to be more forgiving than a lot of people, maybe in this room too.
I don't think he knows our history.
Probably doesn't know the history of that. I'm the forgiving one of pretty much all the DC movies.
I think I'm with you. I'm pretty forgiving for DC. I mean, I love DC. It was my first installment. I'm a loyalist. It's like, all right, you know, it's kind of like you hurt my feelings. We'll talk about it later, and we'll start over.
I like the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
And Wonder Woman. And I think this league.
See, I end up not seeing them on opening night, and I think I hear so many bad things from the critics that by the time I go in, I expect it to be terrible. And then whenever it's not terrible, I'm pleasantly surprised. So,
oh yeah, that's a good thing. That's what critics don't realize they do. They beat it up so much that you go in and you're like, this is pretty good. This wasn't that bad. And Suicide Squad was okay. You know, I didn't love it, but it was okay, and there were aspects about it that I did really truly like. I loved Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman was really good.
Yeah, and I didn't dislike. I liked Justice League. I thought they did a good job, in my opinion, introducing the characters. I thought Cyborg's story was compelling. Don't know if it's enough to carry a solo movie.
Yeah.
But hope that it is. Only thing in Justice League, I wasn't a big fan of Flash for some reason, although I love the actor. But I don't know. It's just something about the Flash that
it didn't feel like Barry
a little Allen. Empty.
Yeah.
We felt it didn't feel like Barry Allen. Like, I thought Ezra Miller did great with what he was given. But I'm not used to Barry Allen being the comic relief necessarily.
Yeah. That's more of a Wally thing.
it was something a little detached for me from what I thought I knew or what I thought I wanted. And then I didn't like the run. I don't know what was going on with his run. I don't know. I get it. Yeah, I get into the movie sometime, and I watch it the first time, then I'll watch it the second time, and I'll probably nitpick more than I need. But but overall, you know, I was like, it's pretty good. I mean, one, Gal Gadot did such a wonderful job, I love Cyborg, so, you know, Jason Momoa is cool. Again, I'm curious what Aquaman is going to be, but he's such a wonderful guy. He's so easy to talk to. He's so fun. I want him to succeed as well.
I wanted him to come to Cleveland, and he canceled twice. So
that's not good.
We're a little bitter here.
I had bought the tickets to meet him, and something happened with the shoot, and he canceled. And then he said, "No, wait, I can make it." And then the day before, he canceled again because of weather.
Oh my God! Yes. Was that when he was traveling with Eliza Dushku? Or he was by himself?
He was in England filming something, and they had like the worst snowstorm.
Yeah, they were stuck in
like
New
the
York
last 16 years.
Yeah.
So they all the flights out of London were canceled.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, at least he had a good excuse. We don't want anything to happen to him. Minor increment weather. So he will be there.
I don't blame him.
If I see him, I'm going to tell him, you need to get to Cleveland.
There you go.
People that are trying to talk to you and meet you there.
Right. Tell them about all of our issues.
Yeah. Do not disappoint Jason.
That's right. Do you cosplay anything outside of comic book genre type stuff?
Not often. So what I did decide to do, because that was a question brought up to me, and then I'm that type of person, I'm like, oh my goodness, you're right. I want to do something else. So I did Nightwolf from Mortal Kombat.
Oh, okay. Nice. Wow.
That year that it was brought up to me, because I was like, you know, I do want to expand. And the interesting thing about that is doing a different character or a different genre, although I've been going to Dragon Con and places for years and years, simply changing the genre of my cosplay introduced me to a whole group of new people. It was the most amazing thing, because it's like, oh my goodness, I put this on, now I'm thrusted in this crowd, and they party this way, or they hang out over here, or they do this, and it was just really cool. So having that exposure makes me want to venture out even more, because one, I can do different characters, and two, I love meeting people, so it'll put me in a position to infiltrate and be introduced to different crowds. Another beautiful thing here, we have AWA, which is Anime Weekend Atlanta. And although superhero costume and cosplay is welcome, it's more about anime. So I like to go there to introduce myself to anime, because I'm not really well versed in anime, but I like to go there and check out what's going on. And I keep forgetting the name of the group of guys that I want to do from anime, and I don't want to get it wrong, because somebody will curse me out, I'm sure, if they hear this. it's some group of guys, and it's like they just all have, you know, one guy has green hair, and I guess they're all playboys or something. And I was like, I want to do that group with some of my friends. And I can't recall the name.
I am also not well versed.
Dream Boys or Dream something? Is it Dream something?
Yeah, I don't know. I just know Naruto, One Piece, Dragon Ball Z.
The trendy.
Yeah. And a little Yu Yu Hakusho. That's about it for me.
That's funny. So you're just like me. It's like you got to know those things. Oh my God, let me tell you guys a good story. So, because I'm not that into anime, and Atlanta is such a big nerd culture, and everybody here is definitely embracing and well-versed in their nerd, there was a group of guys walking around with a camera and a mic, and they were asking questions. And of course, in their world, everybody should know the answer to these questions, because, hey, who wouldn't know it? And and they came up to me and my friends that day, and I mean, they totally pulled our nerd card. because we were horrible. Like, we couldn't answer anything that they were talking about. And I was like, wow. You know, it made me interested because I was like, there's just a whole nother world that I need to explore. But at the same time, they really made me feel like an imposter that day. I was just in there like, I don't even know why I'm here. Because they were so disappointed.
Oh, wow.
Maybe it's Dream Daddy. I want you guys to find it. Maybe it's Dream Daddy.
I'm always on my phone, so I'm researching now to see if I can figure it out.
Dream Daddy. Look at Dream Daddy. Yep, it's Dream Daddy. Dream Daddy.
It's kind of crazy because I know there's an anime about a kid who plays tennis, and it's like this whole drama about him playing tennis against other. Yeah, and it's like huge. I'm like, they're just playing tennis.
That's what it's about.
Yeah, that's honestly what it's about. I'll find it, but yeah, it's the anime is about this kid plays tennis and the dramas of school and everything, but he plays tennis.
Wow. You know, I mean, it just makes you think. You can make something about anything almost. What is this? His racket has special powers or something?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
I'm not sure if that's. But right now, I found Dream Daddy is a dad dating simulator on Steam.
Oh no! I put it up. So it's called Dream Daddy Daddies. So put Dream Daddy Daddies.
Daddy. Okay. Yeah,
it comes up with Dream Daddy Daddies.
Oh, and just in that case.
That date stimulator on Steam. I think that might be them, but it's Dream Daddy or type in Dream Daddy characters. And then you should better get the group. Oh. I really don't know what they do. I got to do more research on it myself. I'm clueless. It's just like, I was like, we could all be Dream Daddy because they just look like they are Casanovas. I don't know. I could probably read up on them
now.
And find out that they're not. I don't know. But yeah, heroes are my thing. So, you know, I was with the superhero costuming forum. I've read comic books growing up all my life, Marvel, DC variant. And I just love the aspect of someone being able to have supernatural abilities and a user for good type thing. So it's always been my go-to. It is definitely my default.
Now, other than Killmonger, do you do a lot of villains?
No. So that was another question I received. And I was like, okay. They were like, you're always a hero. Why don't you do a villain? And I was like, you're right. You know, I didn't even think about this. So I did Killmonger. I did Riddler. Mm. But Riddler, I totally put my own spin on. Yeah. Most people thought I was Andre 3000. They were like, oh, you're Andre 3000. Awesome. I'm like, you do see question marks like all over my costume, right?
Now, were you shaking like a Polaroid picture at that point?
I think I was. I was shaking like a Polaroid picture because no matter what I did, the mask, the cane, the question marks on my clothes, the Andre 3000. No. So we had fun though because we did like a Gotham villains. We called ourselves the Gotham Syndicate, and we had Catwoman, Joker, Penguin. We had someone do a penguin from Gotham, Mr. Freeze, and then I was Riddler. So that was actually pretty fun because none of us really do villains. And we wanted to see what that walk was like.
Now, do you watch Gotham?
I do watch Gotham. I haven't caught up with the last season, but I'm a fan of Gotham.
Yeah.
Again, it was I found myself a little disturbed because, you know, I'm a big fan of Batgirl. And I'm like, in every movie and every TV show, I don't see how Batgirl is going to come to fruition, because the way they have it set up, there's just no way Batgirl can be born. But I'm like, but I know they're working on a Batgirl movie, or tentatively working on a Batgirl movie. So I'm like, why do we continually take her out of Batman or take her out of Gotham? Because if Barbara Gordon is the way she is in Gotham, I mean, there's just no way he should get back with her and have a baby.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But that's kind of
the fun thing with Gotham, though, is like it's so out of left field that it's like, you know, it's kind of fun to watch just to see what
the craziness grew on me.
Yeah, that's same here. Same here.
Yeah, it's completely psychotic. So it's a fun watch. Yep. And I really enjoyed the concept of introducing new characters before Batman, or the characters prior to coming into their own after Batman. I just thought that was nice. And I was a big fan of them introducing or creating Fish Mooney. And things like that, because it's like, yeah, what type of crime was going on before? So it answered those questions for me. And I was excited because I was a big fan of, which I wish wouldn't have never went off, I really liked Huntress or Birds of Prey.
I liked that a lot.
Yeah, so I'm like, what happened? And maybe it was just ahead of the curve and it came on too early, but I felt like it was done well. I thought the actress was really good. I thought it was dark enough, but not too dark. And, you know, I'm probably going to go back and watch it. It's one of the few shows that they thought enough of the audience to take a big break, but come back and give a finale episode as opposed to just taking it off. Yeah. So I was like, well, that's cool. I mean, it was months later. But they actually did try to wrap it up for us.
Yeah, I like when shows do that when they're canceled prematurely.
You said what?
I like when shows do that when they're canceled prematurely.
Yeah, like, give us one more. Just give us one. Like, you know, it's over. You know, talk to the cast. Give us one more show to kind of wrap it up, because you left us hanging.
Yeah. Give us closure. That's all I want.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I'm upset that Lucifer. Like, I'm a fan of Lucifer.
Oh,
I'm
just, I know. That's
like, how do you take off Lucifer?
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. Especially the cliffhanger.
Yeah.
And if it's, oh man.
We're still hoping like, we'll get picked up by someone else.
Yeah. They got to resolve that somehow. Because I'm like, no.
I hope so, because it's like, it's so good. It's a cliffhanger. I need it. Like, there was a show, and I don't know if many people watched it. You can tell I'm into all the sci-fi. And this is another actress that I'm a big fan of. I forgot her name. I'll look her up. But she was in The Nine Lives of Chloe King. And I found myself really, really loving that show. And that same young lady is in Gifted right now. She plays one of the Frost sisters. She's not Emma Frost, but one of the other Frost sisters. And it was just such a good show to me at the time. And it ended on a wonderful cliffhanger. And again, no resolve. It just went off and they just left us there. And I was like, wow. Cause she's good. Like, I think she's into this stuff too. Cause I think she went from Nine Lives of Chloe King to The Gates, which The Gates didn't last long either. And then after The Gates, I don't know what she did, but now she's in Gifted.
Okay. Yeah, I'm kind of hoping Lucifer ends up on the WB.
Yeah. It seemed like it would fit in nice there. Yeah.
And then I hope so.
In crossover with them.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah, they need to. Because did you guys like Constantine? I thought Constantine was pretty good.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah. Oh, I liked it a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, I loved it. I'm like, what is, you know, for some of the shows, I'm not trying to down what people like, but for some of the shows that are surviving and some of the ones that have been taken off, I'm just so perplexed. But I know we all don't have the same taste.
We tend to be more positive on than a lot of people on the internet, just in general, you know, and I don't like to insult things, but, there are shows that are just so hugely popular, or even that aren't even on right now, maybe, but that I watched and would be like, people, this is the number one comedy on television. Why is this?
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Like, why? And then I'll turn over to it, and I do want to laugh hysterically or be into it. And I'm like, wow, you know, maybe this was a bad episode that I caught today.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so this is number one, but you're taking off the other stuff that I know is good. And, you know, and I'm not trying to blow my own horn, but I work in this industry, so I kind of know when a show is put together well, as opposed to something that's just thrown together. And when I see something that has all the things I was trained as a check and balance, and I'm like, well, they're offering all of that, but this is still taken off the air or removed, I'm very perplexed. Because like you said, I'll turn to another show and it's absolutely missing a lot of the elements that we were taught should be there. And that show is doing well.
Yeah.
Oh, the young lady I was talking about is named Skylar Samuels. I think she's a great actress. I'm a big fan of hers.
Okay. I'll look her up.
She does some good stuff. But as you can see, I'm really into watching these television shows. I love sci-fi, love vampires and mystic things that's happening and mystic characters.
So, and then so I'm vampires, you probably like Buffy? Buffy
oh,
vampires?
God. Did you say like Buffy or love Buffy?
Oh, there you go. That's it. Love Buffy. That's what I want to hear.
When I say I love Buffy, that I'm still upset that Buffy's not on the air. I refuse to watch.
I know that was such.
Yeah, I refuse to watch the reruns because I'm still upset. Yeah. I met James Marsters, and he is hilarious, and I was just enthralled. But I was so mad at him when I met him, and he's like, "What is wrong? Why are you mad at me?" But I'm like, how could you do that? Like, you guys could have been on for 20 years and it would have been okay. You didn't ever need to end, but I guess it did.
Yeah.
Well, we have the Runaways, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Yeah. I don't know if anything's going to ever make me feel like Buffy or, and I know a lot of people didn't like it, but the first installment of Charmed, you know, those are some shows that made me come home or made me turn on the TV when they were on. Of course, Buffy surpasses all of them for me, but I just couldn't get enough. I'm curious to see what the new installment of Charmed is going to be like.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. It's a scenario where I just don't know what, I don't know what they're doing with it, but I'm open to it. I'm open to it. You know, now that
I love Buffy so much, it was like, you know, people were really all about True Blood when it was out and everything. But I think the best episode of True Blood was not even as good as the worst episode of Buffy.
Yeah.
I'm going to agree with you on that. True Blood kind of hit us because it filled a niche that was kind of missing, I think. And because it was on HBO and they could get a little bit more edgier, a little bit more raunchier, we bought into it. But as for it being a show that could compete with Buffy, no.
I watched the first few seasons of True Blood and I kind of faded away. I read a lot of the books too. And I felt the Buffy characters are 1,000 times better.
Yeah,
you just want it. I mean, they made stars. Like, I love Elijah Dushku, all the people that was on there. You really bought into them. I mean, I was so enthralled with every aspect of everybody, and they actually let the characters develop. I mean, Willow's character developed, and she had a place, and you liked good Willow, and you liked bad Willow, and you liked lesbian Willow, and you like straight Willow. You just
evolved. Like her story arc.
Really, yeah, her crazy story arc was crazy. I mean, that's one character that really played a whole lot of parts, and it's like, wow, you know, I just love Willow. Although Xander got such a bad rep, Offset, you know, I liked Xander's character as well.
He was. I met him. He was really nice.
I hear that he's nicer now. Yeah,
yeah, I do. That's what I hear too.
Which is good.
I went to shake his head. He's like, no, bring it in.
Oh, really? Cool. Yeah. That's good.
Awesome. Yeah.
Because he had built up such a bad reputation for himself. And I was hoping it wasn't true. I don't think I've personally met him. I've seen him, but I haven't personally met him. And I was hoping that wasn't true because we love them so much. Yeah. It's heartbreaking to love a character or a show and you meet the person and they are awful.
Yeah.
Well, especially if they're at a convention or somewhere. Come on. If you're at a convention, you know you're there to work. These are your fans.
Right.
Yeah.
You need to be receptive.
I hear he has some demons he was working through that he seems to have in order now. So,
yeah,
for the most part.
That's what I think, too.
The one guy that I know that I actually just know, he works all the Wizard World conventions that come close. He said that he was behind the scenes exceptionally nice, like refused to even ask anyone to go get him water. He would go get his own bottle of water and bring them for other celebrities and stuff. And
nice. Yeah. That's good.
Oh, wow. So it's interesting to hear all of that, because it's like you have all these wonderful gestures, which the average person on set is not that kind. And then, you know, you have other people talking about he's hard to work with. So you just never know. I haven't worked with him. I haven't met him. So I just have to give him the benefit of the doubt. But I'm glad that he gave you a nice experience and that he was receptive to you, because I don't like to hear that actors are out there causing drama or being dismissive to the fans, because they got to where they are because of us. And I feel like if you're not open to talking to or communicating or embracing your fans, then you definitely should not be at a table. You definitely shouldn't go to cons. You should just let the memory of who you were reside.
Yeah, I've had good experiences overall.
Yeah, for the most part, I think I have too.
I can't think of any of the celebrities that I've met that were not really cool, really nice.
Oh, you guys are lucky. I've met some crazies. I've met some nutcases that I'm like, oh my God, are you this? Oh, yeah. But the ones that are wonderful just take it over the top. Like Eddie McClintock is amazing.
He's from Canton, right? I believe he's from Canton.
I think so. I think so.
Nice.
I believe he's a big fan of the Ohio State University.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the Ohio State.
Bring it all back to the Ohio State
University. The young lady that played, I forgot her last name, her first name, that played Supergirl. She's amazing. Oh, cool. Vanderwoodson. She was Supergirl on Superboy. I mean, yes, on Smallville. She was Supergirl on Smallville.
Okay, I know who you're talking about. I can't think of her name.
Yeah, I think it's Vanderwoodson or something like that. But, I'm sorry, Laura Vandervoort. So, yeah, people like that. It's been some really amazing people out there. I'm like, oh, they are exciting. Love Jared Joseph from the 100. It's just some people that really leave a good impression.
That's good. All right. Well, I think you've answered all of our questions and more.
Oh, wow.
Do you have any questions for us or anything else you'd like to
promote? Any conventions you're going to be at?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about the conventions. So, as I stated before, I am going to be at BlacktasticCon, and that's coming up very, very soon. I will be doing two panels there. I'll be doing my Cosplay Your Way panel and Cosplay Made Simple. Shortly after that, I will be headed to DC for BlurredCon. And BlurredCon is a wonderful convention that welcomes everyone and is open to being embracing and creating a safe space for people as well. And I'll be doing a couple of panels up there as well. And then after that, you can catch me at Dragon Con, where I will have a panel. They've opened up a new track. And I'm going to be doing a panel on the new track for the first time this year. So I'm excited about that.
Congratulations.
Definitely, that's awesome. If you want to reach out to me, ask questions, see what I'm doing, check out my pictures, tell me that my cosplay is not good enough, you can reach me at BarFox, is BarFoxx. You can hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, and on Facebook is BarFoxCosplay. And then on Instagram, you can also follow me at Cosplay Your Way. And if you are really a part of the Cosplay Your Way brand and want to join the movement, you can go to tpublic.com and pick up some Cosplay Your Way shirts. Wear them. I would love that. Anybody that puts on a shirt and sends me a picture, I spotlight them for the week. Mm-hmm. And post their pictures up on my Instagram and on my social media, because I love that people join the movement. And, you know, I figure anybody that buys a t-shirt is really behind what the movement is about. And I love that. And I just love finding people who share the same sentiments that I do. So that's me, BarFox in a nutshell.
That's awesome.
All right.
Well, thank you so much for spending time with us.
Yeah, thank you.
It was nice getting to know you a little bit.
Yeah,
thank you guys. Like I said, it was a wonderful conversation. I didn't get drilled, and that was cool.
Yeah, we try to make it all positive. All positivity.
Yeah.